Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 2nd of August. I'm Paul White. Good you're with me as we get started. Yesterday was sort of an introductory day for what we're going to do here in the month of August, and today will be our first addition to what I'm sort of titling New Covenant Principles in Old Covenant Stories. So what I want to do is look at the Old Testament. I said New Covenant Principles in Old Covenant Stories. Once in a while, we'll throw a story in that predates the covenant, but it's still Old Testament. It's not where we derive our life. We don't derive our life from the Old Testament. We don't actually derive our life from the New Testament. We derive our life from Christ. And as I said yesterday, keeping the focus on Christ in all of our studies is the great challenge and the thing that we need to endeavor to do regardless of who we are as a student of the Word. You may not be in ministry, you may not write about the Bible, you may not teach it, you may not preach it, but it's still part of your life is studying the Word so that you can mine out truths about your redemption, mine out truths about your Jesus. And so you keep the focus on finding Jesus where you can, and then you have found the source of your life. I don't want to do this series sequentially, so I'm not trying to go, say, Genesis to Malachi. I'm literally just going wherever. It's a great big book. Two-thirds of your Bible, basically, is Old Testament. We can't kick the Old Testament out because we're New Covenant people. It is important to understand what it is and who it's written to, that it's primarily to Hebrew people, whereas the New Testament is not simply to Hebrew people. You might even say the Old Testament is more of a Jewish book and the New Testament is more of a Christian book. That might be a good way of looking at it, particularly since our Jewish friends don't use the New Testament as their book, but here as Christians, we still use the Old. So through this, we'll bring up some things that you've heard before, and we'll also try to challenge some of those thoughts and try to add to them a little bit. For the first one, I want to go to Exodus chapter 16. This is the story of where Israel is journeying from Elim. They've just had the bitter waters of Marah made sweet. They've come to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And this is the 15th day of the 2nd month after they've left the land of Egypt. Now, the congregation has the water issue taken care of because the bitter water's been made sweet. But they have not got the bread issue taken care of. And the bread issue is going to lead to the story that we know as, or the subject that we know as manna. And the Hebrew word manna literally means, what is it? The children of Israel looked outside on the ground, saw these little pieces that the Bible describes, you know, look like pieces of frost. It may have looked like some sort of powder and or crumbs. And they scooped them up and they could eat them, and they were sweet to the taste. In fact, Exodus 16:31 says the house of Israel called it manna. What is it? And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, the easy connection, due to the fact that in John 6:35, Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the easy connection is to say, well, the Jesus you find in this story is manna. But the reality is the context of Jesus saying that in John 6:35, if you'll look a few verses earlier, he tells them in verse 32, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, Moses didn't really give heaven's bread. He gave natural bread. I'm real bread. So it's not necessarily wrong to say Jesus is the bread that fell in the wilderness, but I think there's a better connection. And this is what it's all about, is making those connections. So the better connection is not that Jesus is the manna. The better connection is that Jesus is the provision of the promised land. You see, the manna is a day-to-day blessing that didn't appear on the Sabbath. You had to get a double portion on the 6th day to make it through the 7th day. If you left it in your storage too long, it would rot. And I see images of Jesus, that you need freshness, but there's no rot in Jesus. There's no waste in Jesus. There's no oldness in Jesus. And also, in Jesus, there's never a day you go outside your tent and he's not there. So the manna is a supernatural provision, but Jesus elevates himself above the manna. In reality, Jesus is not your temporary fix. Jesus is your permanent answer. Consider the difference between Israel wandering in the wilderness eating manna and Israel settling into the promised land planting fields. God was so adamant about them settling in the promised land and planting that 3 days after they arrive in the promised land, he dries the manna up. Again, Jesus never dries up. We don't run out of Jesus. But God's taking them from a mentality of having a miracle provided for them every day versus providing for themselves through wisdom. I love a good miracle, and there are times I need precisely that, as do you. But better than having to go to the Father every day of, oh, give me my miracle today, I got to have a miracle today, better is to have the provision to where you've stored up against a rainy day. In some ways, the manna is the idea of I need to think financially. I need a financial miracle every day. I need a financial miracle to cover that. I need a financial miracle to cover that. Versus we have provision, we've saved properly, we've stored up, we're ready for the rainy day. And I'm not using this as an economic condemnation in any way. Everyone has to do things the way they have to do them, and we all go through seasons, some seasons of abundance and some seasons of drought, and that's the way it is. Sometimes the leaves are falling off the trees, and sometimes the leaves are growing on the trees. That's life. But I think you get my point. We don't want to live in the land where we have to live by the miracle every day. It's nice once in a while to live in the land where there is promise. Here's one more thing that I want to bring out in this. The scripture I read for you is Exodus 16:31, where Israel said that the manna was white like coriander seed and was sweet like wafers made with honey. When you get to Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 11 describes, this is now deep into the journey, and this is how Israel feels about the manna deep into the journey. In Exodus chapter 11, Numbers chapter 11, verse 7, now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of delium. And delium is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 2 as being sourced from the land of Edom. It now tastes like, according to verse 8, pastries prepared with oil. It's no longer sweet to their taste. It's no longer beautiful to their eyes. I ask you this, what changed? Did the manna change or did their reception of it change? And the answer, of course, is their perception and reception of it changed, because we grow miserable with the routine. Until we can see a provision with promise behind it, we'll grow miserable. I hope you've enjoyed a new covenant principle in the midst of an old covenant story. More tomorrow. See you then. God bless.